Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Having a great time, my guy Will Wilson, and I'm about to have a really good time with our guy, Husker legend, Henry T. T, what's good?
What's happening? What's happening, fellas?
Oh, man, just living the dream. You wouldn't want to be here right now, because I know it's probably like 70 there. I woke up this morning, it was 38.
Well, I woke up at 50. It's 50, but it's supposed to get up to 80. So we got a little cold front, but this weekend's going to be in the 90s and the mid upper 80s next week. So, you know, a little fall weather, but I'm still looking at blue sky here. And, you know, good morning, man. The Huskers played well. Husker volleyball kicked a little butt last night. And, man, if y'all didn't watch that WNBA finals last night, man, phenomenal OT game, man. Like I said, that's the way basketball is supposed to be played.
Henry, I know you said you're from up north. So when you came to Nebraska, you started playing ball here. I mean, did the winners kind of catch you by surprise, or you're pretty conditioned for those?
I was pretty conditioned because I came from, not only from Indiana, but my first Air Force base was in Utah, which cold and snow. And then I got an assignment over to South Korea, had the four season cold. And in addition to that, I ended up at Phoenix. Actually, I was out here, my last Air Force base, before I got out to go play college ball, and ended up at Kansas, Hutchinson, Kansas, which is cold. So when I came from Hutchinson to Lincoln, it was an easy adjustment, you know. But trust me, I do not like the cold, man. But those warm arenas, the Bob Devaney kept us warm with the fans. It was warm and hot, so it was all good.
T, man, I just saw on the internet that there's a few tickets left still for Nebraska basketball, man. What are you waiting on?
Man, I got the basketball schedule up right now looking at it, man. And I can actually work remote, so I'm trying to figure out how I can get my laptop, but I need to get a couple of monitors there and just stay there for a couple of weeks, man, and try to get like five or six games in, man. So I'm just sitting here just, man, licking my chops, man. I can't wait.
It is kind of cool to think, though, that, you know, in the past five, 6 years, Nebraska ball season tickets have gone quick. Most years, you know, they've gone sold out. I mean, back when you were playing, I mean, was that common? And also, did you think at some point this would be happening, where season tickets would be tough to come by?
Oh, man. Well, we sold out, too, especially during the Big 8 conference games. And, you know, it was kind of funny. I know D. Vic and all of us used to come out for warm-ups, you know, if it's your first time out, and you know, not a lot of people out there. You know, you might see 5,000 or 6,000 or what have you. So you warm up and you go in for your scouting report and all that good stuff, and then you come back out and it's like standing room only. Like, what just happened? How these folks get in their seats so fast? And so it was kind of expected. And we got the best fans in the country, man, in all sports. So I don't care if it's baseball, track, you name it, man. We fill the stands up, man, and we root the team on, man. That's what's great about the Huskers, man.
You know, man, we're only like 25 days away, something like that. So when you get to that point, obviously in the basketball, in any sports world, there's a countdown. At what point does the anticipation really start growing for you guys?
It really starts when you realize that he has his lineup figured out, and then you just start, you know, then you just start working on, you know, your plays. And you know, because when Coach Knee, we were the first couple of years, so we knew that we were going to run a fast pace offense and, you know, get up and down the court. So we just started working our secondary offense, you know, and our options and things of that sort. And and we work with our you know, with the players who are going to support us, the scouting team, and the team, the players are going to play behind us, man. And we just start, you know, knowing our roles. And of course, you know, those butterflies is there. You're always nervous, like I told you before, man. I mean, I don't think I ever played a game. If I wasn't nervous, man, I didn't play well, if I didn't have butterflies. So, you know, so I wanted the butterflies. If I took you too lightly, man, I stunk it up. So, but this is the time of the year, man, where you're gearing up, man. You know, competed, and you got a good idea who's going to be your starters. And then you start working with that chemistry. And that's, you know, that's what's special about college basketball, man. It's just, you know, you got your preseason, you run, the hardest thing we had to do is run, well, it's two things. We had to run the mile in the 6 minutes, and you know, it took Derek Vick and a couple of our big guys forever to get that done, or they couldn't practice. And then we had to run the thing on football stadium stairs. And then the football players used to laugh at us. You know, Morgan Gregory and them, man, we're up there hopping with these, I don't know what they were called, lift shoes or whatever they're called. I think I lost mine. I used to have them for years. And we were hopping up and down those stairs, man. That was just preseasons, man. And, working out, and then you get in there and start, you know, running sprints and just practicing, man. And that was the best part, just the practice, you know. And I wasn't really a great practice player. I was more of a gamer. But I knew that I had to work hard in practice just to get on that court, so I would do it anyway. But love the games, man. So the preparation is the best part, man, and then the games just come secondary.
Hey, talk about that. That's something that's interesting. You say that you weren't a good practice player, but you're a gamer. What's the difference? Because there's opposites too. There's practice players and not good gamers.
Well, I can give you a prime example, man. I hate to even bring his name up. I'll bring his name
up. Yeah, it's good stuff.
It was Joe Seeler, man, my first year here, man. I tell you, and Derek Vick, anybody that was on that team would tell you, man, this guy was unstoppable in practice. I mean, I don't think he rarely missed. I mean, he's like that kid from transfer from DePaul, man. He just didn't miss, man, and played well. And he started the first few games, but for whatever reason, it didn't translate over to the game. And that's where I got my opportunity, you know, where, you know, I was the average practice player, you know, but more practice for me was just conditioning and learning the plays and things that sort. But I competed. But once I got the opportunity, got in the game, then that's when I performed. You know, I love playing in front of the crowd and talking a little, you know, I talked a little trash and I brought a little bit of energy on the court, man. And then I just didn't relinquish the starting position after that. So that just happens, man. You do have your practice players and you have your gamers. You know, there's not a lot of Michael Jordans and Kobe Bryant's who does it on both ends, you know, practice and gamers. So.
That is so interesting. It reminds me of Benny Parker, because I know that's all we heard was this kid could flat out make everything in practice. And then, you know, when he came to the court, we all wanted Benny to do something, and he never would. You know, it sucks. You know, I'm sure it happens.
Yeah, I remember Benny. Yep, I remember him. I do remember the little short guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure enough. I mean, but it is. I mean, you do. That's just in. Probably in every school, man, you got some practice players and even pickup ball players. I mean, you know, if you go to the rec, man, you just got these guys that just, you know, don't miss, you know. But it's just different, man, when you play it in front of 15,000 folks, man, screaming and the referees, and you competing against some guys who's just as good as you, not better. And, you know, so it's a lot of, you know, it takes a lot of pride, and it's mine. I mean, the athletic part of it is just a minimal part. It's just it's the mindset, man, and the confidence that you have to instill in at heart, you know. And that's, you know, that's the next level, man. People don't realize, you know, I've had teammates that came that was touted as, you know, all world and everything. They thought they were going to come into Nebraska and start and things of that sort. And it started as pickup ball, and they realized, man, we are just as good as you, and not better, man. And we've been here, and we're experienced. You know, it's not going to be easy taking my position, so let's go.
We're talking to former Nebraska ball guard Henry T. Buchanan. Henry, I wanted to ask you, because last Friday we had Trey McGowan's on the show, and we had a great few segments with him.
Yeah, we did.
And I asked him, I brought this up because I know he came back here to win a tournament game with Nebraska. He knows it's never been done here. I reminded him that Nebraska is the last Power 5 school to win a game, and he didn't know that, and it kind of sparked something with him.
To not win one.
You know, what does it say about two guys who came here specifically to make history at Nebraska?
You know, and not only that, he's making it for every player to play before him, you know, the history of Nebraska. And we are starving for that first tournament win. And, you know, we've been there, what, five times? You know, I think four with Coach Nee, and then one with Moaiba the year before I arrived. And, You know, and I think, man, they would go in history, man, as the guys that did it. And believe me, man, all the alumni, man, we are toes are tapping, man. We all want to see it happen, man. And we're in big support, man. We've been waiting on this, just the history of basketball. We thought we could do it, but didn't get that opportunity, man. And I'm just, hey, I'm behind 1,000%, man. And I do believe this is the year we can get it done, man. I mean, until I start watching games and seeing how we could peak, man, I know on paper, man, we look very well, look very good, man, but I think we got the right makeup, with Alonzo and Bryce and Trey and Walk. I mean, we're solid. We got shooting. I mean, we got a little bit of everything. You know, we don't have the size that the 26 win team had, you know, because, you know, we had what, Rich King at 7'2", Tony Farmer, you know, Carl Hayes, I mean, 6'9", 6'8". We were big and could play. But this team reminds me of that. I'm pretty excited, man. And I think, hey, man, I can't wait to get back there. Matter of fact, I got to get back there. I want to get on that podcast with them.
I can make it happen. We can get you there.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll get you there. T, you know something else I was thinking about and I want to ask you, because, you know, Nebraska fans, high expectations, right? Everybody's on the, like, your own board right now, right? You're feeling it. And, you know, how do you manage that? Because this could be a team. It's a tough conference. We're not talking about playing in like the Pac-12 or something with this type of team. You're in the Big Ten, and the top half of that Big Ten, like, you got Final Four contenders that people are talking about. How do you go about those expectations? Because this could be a team that could play really well this year and still finish like eighth in the conference, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. But, you know, I mean, these guys, you got to think about this. These guys know each other before they went to these schools. You know, AAU, trust me, man, they have played with and against each other, man. They know each other's game. So they're not afraid. They know those guys probably better than the coaches do, you know, because they grew up with them. And trust me, AAU was across the country, man, and they started at a very young age, and they play every year. And they get to know one another, man. So it's just now, it's just, hey, you choose Michigan, and I'm going to Nebraska, and we see what happens. But I think the McGowans and the rest of them, especially with Bryce, you know, being a five-star, he don't play against the best across the country. So he's one of the best in the country in this class. So when that whistle blows, man, let's go.
We're talking to Henry, TV candidate. A few more minutes left with you, Henry. I want to bring this up. So this comes from up in Michigan. I'm just curious about this. So we know who's coaching up there, you know, Juwan Howard. His son, Jet, just committed to play for him at Michigan. And I'm curious, you know, did you ever play on a team, you know, in college that the coach's son was on the team?
Well, Bo Reed, well, not the head coach. It would have been, well, two of our assistant coaches, Gary Bargan. We had Jed Bargan, that was a player, played a couple of years with us. And then, of course, Bo Reed, Arden Reed was an assistant. But, of course, Danny's son, Patrick, who is a basketball coach, and he's coached at a couple of D1s and junior college level, but not the head coach. But it's kind of fun because, you know, you're playing with coaches' sons, and, you know, of course, I played for Coach Bargan and Derek Vick and I, and so we knew Jed when he was a kid before he even came to Nebraska. It's kind of neat just to watch that relationship and between the coach and the son, and their level of basketball IQ is a little bit different than probably the rest of us. I think it's a good thing, you know, but it's a lot of pressure on the coaches. You know, I couldn't imagine, you know, I coached my son in, like, you know, little leagues, you know, and just, you know, not trying to be biased and show favoritism, you know, that has to be difficult. But if the kid is that good, and I know his son is like rated, what, 42nd in the country, ESPN, so he's a pretty solid player. So, you know, so he'd probably come in and get some time.
Again, we're speaking to Henry T. Buchanan. T, there's been, I'm going to kind of cross these over a little bit because Coach Scott Frost, he was just on the Will Compton Bustin' with the Boys podcast, and he talked about having to hit reset at times, right? You get into a funk, you got to hit reset. Did you guys ever have to do that in, you know, when you played Nebraska? You're like, man, we're struggling. Let's hit the reset button, and let's get out of this thing. And then how did you do that? How did you reset?
Well, it's normally with the players. I mean, the coaches, man, like I said, I talked to some friends, I talked to D. Vic a lot, I'm going to call him Jerry, even though I told him I'm going to be nice, nice today and not talk about it this morning, but we have this type of conversation. We have those type of conversations, and it's one of those deals where, the coaches do whatever it takes to prepare us. Then it's on the ownership, is on us. It's on the players. And sometimes, man, we have those players meetings, man, just us, man. It's like, we can't blame the coaches for the way we're playing. I mean, they're not on the court with us. So a lot of times it's on us as the leaders of the team and the players, man. We reset ourselves, because nobody likes losing. My senior year, we had some big wins, but we didn't win as many games as we did the first year. We went from 21 to 13. But you still left the university with more wins than losses. But it's, and playing in the NIT. But personally, it's just on the players, man. And I, coaches get paid and they work us, they teach us, and fundamentals and everything. But ultimately, man, it's on us.
We're talking to Henry T. Buchanan. Henry, before we do get you out of here, I want to get your thoughts on that whole John Gruden situation with the Raiders. Definitely some...
bad dude.
Yeah, bad choices made with some emails. Give me your thoughts on this whole situation.
Well, first and foremost, it's just disappointing, but at the same time, I'm not surprised. I guarantee you, there's a lot of owners and coaches in the NFL at all levels. I mean, because we just had the McDermott situation last year, and with his comment. But when you're talking, hit the core, and honestly, that's the way he feels. I mean, just think about it. You got the Rooney Rule, and you got these coaches talking to the executives of other teams that and then we wonder why we don't have enough minority head coaches at any level when you talk about college and NFL and the mindset, and if he's comfortable enough to send those type of emails, the person is reading those emails is feeling the same way, or you wouldn't send it. And I guarantee you, this is just the tip of the iceberg, man. You're going to see a lot of situations like that, man. And I guarantee it's a lot of nervous coaches out there, man, and executives and owners, man. And ever since this George Floyd situation, man, it's done brought awareness and it's going to be a tough road for the NFL, and matter of fact, college as well. I just think it's going to impact all levels of sports, because it's out there, and you hate to hear it and you hate to see it, but it is what it is, man. And I just hope that at some point, I don't think we're going to see it in our lifetime, but at some point, man, if we get past all of this, man, and because we're all in it together, man, and we all kind of, you die once, but you live every day, brother.
Absolutely. Well said. T, one more before I get you out of here. Nebraska football, obviously, we what's going on right now, and really good. They're playing really good football, but the question for me for you is basketball different? Because you go through long stretches where you're playing a lot of games. Nebraska's going to be playing their eighth straight weekend coming up. How did you muster it up, especially in a long basketball season, to push through as many games you guys played in a short time?
Oh, it's simple, man. That preseason, like I told you, running those sprints, those miles, those football stairs, man. And if anything, man, and that's why we won some of those close games, man. We were the better conditioned team, man. And that's, and basketball, in my opinion, you have to be the best condition because you're constantly out there running and get beat up. And, I know football, you blow the whistle and it stops, you rest for a second. But in basketball, you have to be in supreme conditioning to be able to play the way you play and the people you play against. So I just think that the conditioning at the beginning of the season, and if you're not in condition, you're just not going to play. And we used to play a lot of minutes. When you're playing 30-plus minutes, 30-plus games in a season, and sometimes you're playing two or three games in a week, but, of course, as a player, you look forward to it. So, and with the football team, man, and the way we've been playing, I just looked at the schedule, man. I still think we can get three more wins out of that and get that bowl bid, man. And Minnesota be the first team we got to knock out. And then we'll take care of Purdue and see what happens with Ohio State's going to be tough. But then we got Wisconsin, and then you got Iowa. at least we're at home against Iowa, you know. So I still think we got three wins, man, and I think those players is stepping up for Scott. And I love what I'm watching. I think all the fans love it, whether we're winning or losing, but we're loving what we're seeing. And this is what we've been waiting on for the last 3 or 4 years.
T, always a pleasure, man. It's always a great time to have you on, and just great insights and great to hear all that Husker passion coming out, man. It's always a breath of fresh air.
Oh man, you gotta love it, man. Hey man, I apologize to my brother. I didn't make it to Vegas, man, with my cousins and some friends I grew up with, man. Richard and Angel and Lisa and Michelle and LaJuan and all of them. I just want to give them a shout out. Tell them I wish I was there, man. But I got company in, and I'm having a can't wait for the Gophers game at either the Husker Bar at my house.
You might.
That's all I wanted to say.
You might feel better in the mornings than they do then.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, definitely. I don't know about Sunday morning, but I'll feel good in the morning. But during that game, man, I'm fired up, man. And I'm just looking for some big things for us, for the Huskers on this Saturday, though, man. So let's go Big Red.
Absolutely. All right, brother, man. We appreciate it. Take care, sir.
All right, now. Thank you.
Henry T. Buchanan right there. Good stuff. Yeah. The Husker passion. It feels like he's one of those guys that Trev Alberts talks about loving the place.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Like, he's one of those dudes.
I love what he said, too, when I talked about Trey and talking about how he knows Nebraska hasn't won a tournament game. He goes, yeah, and when they do, everybody who has played for Nebraska
it's
is
for them.
Yes.
Yes.
I love
they
that.
Don't probably, they might comprehend that, but they might not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They might be like, you know, like, I if they are blessed enough to go to the tournament or something this year, it'd be like, I bet you there'll be dudes there support.
But, you know, talking to Trey, he seemed very aware of where Nebraska's at. So I wouldn't doubt if he is thinking about
some of those guys
former athletes.
So, all right, man. You still got, by the way, you got a few more minutes to get that 9 o'clock keyword in. It's Breeze, B-R-E-E-S, for a chance to win $1,000 at ESPNLincoln.com. But when we come back, speaking of trying to make some money, Marco D'Angelo, WagerTalk.com. We have 4 college and 4 pro games.
Oh, baby.
Making picks. And then also after Marco, we'll jump into NFL after that. We'll talk about the Thursday night game. We'll make our picks. And then we'll finish up this show with looking at Minnesota by the numbers. We'll be back.